Hey guys, welcome to episode 40 of the JV Club with the marvelous Vanessa Ragland. Oh, sometimes I can't help myself and I gotta be sing-song, everybody. I want to, first of all, thank those of you who heard that I had a bike accident. Thank you so much for your kind thoughts on Facebook and Twitter, etc. I just feel like I want to explain that a bus ran me off the road in a bike lane and I ran into a building. So I had to get stitches in my chin and I have a little bit of a jaw thing happening and some chipped teeth. But I am okay and I'm already back on my bike. So thank you so much for reaching out about that. And I also want to say, please, 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 anybody who rides a bike or does anything like that, wear a helmet, take care of yourself, wear plenty of protective materials, even during the daytime. Make sure you're visible. And that is enough coaching and chiding from me. Let's get into some shout outs. Via email, Curtis C. Via Twitter, Chase R. Adam B. Daniel S. Megan C. Ken F. Emily. Sarah P. Via Facebook, Robert C. Oz. Kelly Ray. Damon L. I want to thank the people who have been sending in dinner party stories. You still have until December 8th to get one over to me to win a copy of Tess Rafferty's book, Recipe for Disaster. If you want to send that to me, great. I'm making a couple of final decisions. I think we're probably going to send out a couple of books with Tess shortly. I want to thank Lucy via email, beautiful email. Jules, Jessica, also gorgeous emails around Thanksgiving time. On the Nerdist page for Janie Haddad Tompkins, Monia, Paul, PJ, Alec, Todd. You guys posted some great links and some great information there. On Facebook, Gabriella, Cassidy Alice on Twitter, for fuck's sake, Jennifer, Megan C. and Lee S. on Twitter. And also I want to dedicate this episode to Stephen, a listener who sent me an email describing some things he's gone through in his life recently that have been very, very difficult. I think he's a total rock star, and everything that he has undergone and is coming out on the other side of better and stronger. Congratulations. So this one goes out to you, Stephen. And as always, just love hearing from all of you guys. What a joy. What else do I want to say? I guess please make sure to watch Neil's Puppet Dreams. It's watchable on the Nerdist YouTube channel. I continue to do segments on HuffPost Live. We are recording Cora, and we've been doing some commentary for the Cora Season 1 DVD. I've been recording that with some of the cast members and creators, and it's just been a joy. So lots of good stuff going on. Hope everything is wonderful with you guys, and I hope you enjoy the episode. Talk to you soon.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
First of all, I started the podcast with a deep sigh.
Okay.
So that's a good sign.
Are we rolling?
Yeah, we're rolling, guys. Cameras are rolling. This is the thing. Sometimes life happens, everyone. Mm. And I know that that's a poster for a bad, like, movie that Vanessa and I would probably go see and make fun of, but also secretly enjoy.
Oh, it's okay.
Listen, guys, sometimes life happens. Sometimes you have a plumber who's dealing with some plumbing issues. Sometimes you have two dogs running around. Sometimes you have a cat in a cupboard. The cat is in the cupboard.
Judging right now.
She's very judgmental. She's sitting on that because it's warm. So she's sitting on she's sitting on like the DVD player and stuff. I know that it's probably not a good idea.
It's adorable though.
But for right now, we're letting it happen. We've got a dog and
a
toy
Scott
in front
with
of
some
us.
Big toys.
We got another little dog running around like a crazy man.
Life happens.
Sometimes life happens. Ugh. Just when you least expect it,
life
happens. And so there could be a lot of interruptions.
I'm ready for whatever comes our way.
Already it seems like the dog wants to be in a different room. Listen, yeah. All right. So now that we've broken it down, that's essentially and vaguely what's going on, guys.
Just the tip of the iceberg, really.
It's just the tip of the, did you say the chip of the iceberg?
It's a tip,
chip,
but I
off,
like
the
chip,
old
chip
iceberg.
Off the old iceberg. That's what icicle is.
Not technically. I'm joined by Vanessa Ragland. She's a friend.
Hi.
She's also a host of her own podcast, Pop My Culture podcast, with my Sketchfest partner. My Sketchfest partner.
Carl Stratton.
It's not what Australians, it is not how an Australian would pronounce partner, but it works. And by the way, very good Australian accent.
Thank you so much.
A lot of people can't just pull that out.
Oh, there it is.
But we both can, sort of.
Oh, this is going to be good.
My Sketchfest partner. But My Culture is a great podcast. And is it weird? I'm asking this. I do other people's podcasts frequently, yeah. So I know the answer to this for me personally. Yeah. But is it weird doing someone else's podcast? You sort of feel like you have a responsibility to run the show, even though you don't.
I'm turning it off, but I did.
You can sit back and be in the passenger seat.
All right.
Which in Australia would be on the other side of the car.
Oh, you can get in the boot. It's the
you
trunk.
Can get in the boot.
Side
note, I have some Australian and New Zealand listeners.
Hey guys.
Jules, who runs the Pinterest account for the JV Club, is
you're
a Kiwi.
Really?
She's a Kiwi.
You're on top of things. You have a Pinterest account for the podcast.
Oh my gosh, wait till you see
it. I don't follow it, and I love Pinterest.
Well,
I got to catch up.
We're going to get you caught up because Jules will take visual images of everything we talk, like what we talk about. So if we talk about your
visual images?
Obsession with Olivia Newton-John,
right?
Part of the like, your Vanessa Ragland JV Club Pinterest board will have like Olivia Newton-John, this and that, you know. So it's really a lovely collage of visual representation of what happens on the podcast.
Thank you, Jules.
I know.
I know.
Oh, no.
Oh,
I know.
Oh, Jules. Shout out to Jules.
I'm already so annoyed by us.
I know, and it's not going to get better.
This could be a giggler.
I don't think it's going to get better. I'm having some diet soda today. Woo. It's not that bad. What I'm drinking?
This Doc Brown's, it doesn't taste diet.
No, and it's not got that, it's not got a huge list of things in it.
No, it's pretty basic. It's pretty basic. That, and then Virgil's also has a nice diet cream soda.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Would you say Jaegers?
No, I said yeah, he does. Oh. But Jaegers. By the way. Oh, no.
Oh, here we
That's
go.
That's a hard thing to stop once
it
you start.
It is. It really is. Ugh. Have you ever had to do, like, I got a job where I got to do, I've had to do that accent on a couple of different occasions for work, and what a joy.
Voiceover? Or?
One was voiceover. Yeah. One was, there's this Barbie related thing called Monster High.
Oh,
are you
I've seen it in
it?
Target. Yeah.
Okay, so I got for some thing, for some maybe commercial or something, I got to be the mermaid. Her name's Laguna.
Whoa! Congrats!
And so I got to be the voice of the mermaid, but not for like the cartoon itself.
That's still very exciting.
But it was
That's
pretty
a pretty
exciting.
One to be.
Yeah, she's the best one.
Yep.
I think.
Yeah.
So there's that, and then I also got to do a TV show where I worked at an Australian like outback kind of steakhousey sort of thing, where like our thing was that we all
was
spoke with Australian
on.
Accent.
Oh.
But it was supposed to be bad, so thank God because I have a terrible
out.
Accent. And so, so we got to make like horrible, and it was improv, it was an improvised TV show, so called Free Ride, and we got to improvise, so I was just kind of like doing a bunch of terrible puns.
That
terrible
is a dream.
Puns.
I've never gotten to do it.
Well.
It's just a secret.
That show was canceled after half of one season, but it's possible it could come back,
Anytime.
And then we could go work at that
Anytime.
Fictional
Let me
place.
Know.
I'll keep you
what
pasted. Guys, I am so sorry.
Don't be.
Oh.
You're having some Tivana? Or what is it?
Tejava?
Tejava.
Tivana. I'm having some Tejava. You're having some Doc Brown's diet soda.
Whatever happens, happens.
Shit's going to get crazy.
Yeah,
shit's already
yeah,
clearly
so
crazy.
Great. We got a cat in the cupboard.
Oh. Vanessa, what a joy.
What a joy. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm
so
excited. We've talked about it for a long time.
Yeah,
we've
I got
made
totally
it happen.
Lost on the way here.
You did?
I'm bad.
Did you follow GPS? Because that's what
I,
you shouldn't have done. You should have followed my instructional email.
I don't have any direction sense, so I thought I couldn't even follow your email, you know, because I
didn't
trust myself.
Gotcha.
So I was following my GPS, and then I missed the 101 North. A lot of things happened. I ended up at Olvera Street.
Whoa. I love Olvera Street.
I'm going to go on Sunday. I want to get some shopping done.
I'm so glad you brought that up because it is the season for Olvera Street,
right?
Especially because they have Las Posadas there
charming,
in December.
Charming.
Love it. And it is, yeah, they do like, have you ever, guys, sorry.
Sometimes life happens.
That's the, stop it. Oh my God, guys, clear, sorry.
Clear. Danny, could you take Scott out?
He's good. Oh, that's a bark. Okay.
Thank you.
I don't want to edit any of this out because it's all pure gold.
No, you should. It's really good.
Just when you least expect it, life happens.
Oh, starring Zac Efron.
Oh, you wish.
Oh, I do. Watched
the movie last night. What's the movie?
The Lucky One. Watched it last night.
Oh, that's his most recent?
Soldier. I guess he did the Nicole Kidman one since then. I haven't seen that one. But
what's the Nicole Kidman one?
The one where he pees on her jellyfish thing.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's been talking about that, and I forgot that he was in that.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, though. But The Lucky One is a soldier movie. Soldier, Nicholas Sparks.
Okay.
You know, hitting all the... hitting every mark. There were dogs. There was a deadbeat dad. Single mom.
This all
soldier
like
with PTSD. Yeah, sex in the water.
For sure. Nicholas
Everything
Sparks.
Everything you need.
Everything you need.
Oh, and a wise grandma. That gives like little words of wisdom, you know, about like
wise or wise
and
cracking.
Dead parents, not wise cracking. Nicholas Sparks.
Yeah, you're right. It's not like The Proposal. It's not. She's not Betty White.
I get it.
But let's talk about Olvera Street again for a second. So Olvera Street, for those of you who don't know, and yes, I am pronouncing it correctly because listen, guys,
Olvera
Street, because I did, as I've said before, go to first through sixth grade in like a ESL, SSL, like classroom where things were taught bilingually.
So Olvera, not a big deal for you.
I can say that and I can be shamefully made fun of and I deserve it, but I will continue to say it.
No.
But I've kind of gone back and forth. I think I said Olvera and Olvera Street. I've already said both.
Well, you were like just making me feel okay with the first time because you were repeating what I did and then you're like, fair enough. But actually,
as long as we're talking shop. But they have, have you been to the actual, like, part of the Las Posadas, like, stuff that happens at Christmas?
No.
What they do? You've got to go.
This is the first year I'm staying in L.A. for
all
the holidays. Got to do it.
Listen up. December. Most of the month of December. You can look on their schedule, but they have a Las Posadas procession that is like little kids dressed up as angels and then their parents and stuff. And they carry a creche scene around along Olvera Street, like past the little, all the little shops and stuff. And then they eventually get to the gazebo where they have like a whole big creche scene set up and they sing Spanish Christmas songs, which is kind of what I grew up with hearing. And there's like beautiful flocorico dancing that's happening with all these little
what kind
kids.
Of dancing?
Flocorico. There's like folk dancing with like the big skirts and like adorable little kids with like
paper
suits
flowers.
And like they're not tap dancing. Paper flowers.
Everything.
It's so magical, and it's a tradition for me every Christmas to go down there and have like, you know, some Mexican food and wander around and buy a Christmas ornament and listen to the songs and stuff. So I welcome you and John.
Thank you.
If you would
so
like
much.
To be a
we
part of that.
We would love to. We would love
but
to.
But even if we can't do it together, I'm just making sure my phone's off. Even if we can't do it together,
you got to go.
Because
I'd love
to. The other thing that I like to do around the holidays, and usually sometimes they even put it into the same night, is to go to one of the Christmas programs at Walt Disney Concert Hall.
Never done that either.
Oh, it's such a joy. They have, there's a few things that they do every year traditionally, and then sometimes they bring like different Christmas stuff in. Like last year, I went and saw two different programs. One of them was this amazing, like a fiddler sort of, like an amazing violinist who kind of did like bluegrassy sort
Just
of Christmas
him?
Stuff. No, she had her whole band and it was a woman. And she was amazing.
I've
and
been
then,
making a lot of assumptions that like, that's a man.
Yeah,
definitely a man.
Offline we were talking about. Yeah. Like, sometimes it's nice to just have a real job where you
I
can
wish
just
I had
be
a
mad
boss.
At your boss. Like, that guy. I'm like, oh, boss
My
is
boss
a man.
Is a man.
But yeah, it's... and then there's this one program they do every year that's the holiday sing-along, and it's during the day, and so all these families bring their kids. And so there's the orchestra, but then you're also singing along to all of these Christmas songs.
Oh, my gosh.
It's great.
Bring on the holidays. I've never done LA Christmas, and I've been sort of dreading it because I'm so used to, East Coast and my family being around and like all those traditions that I grew up with and the weather and, you know, all that. But it's like, I think I'm going to like it.
It's a totally different experience. And if you want snow, you can also, usually there's snow by Christmas, I think. Or there's often snow up Angeles Forest, oh, where lots of like bodies have been buried. But listen, yeah, it's not just that. But there's people take their, I'll show you some pictures on my phone. People take their families up there and go sledding and stuff. I mean, even as close as 45 minutes outside of LA.
So you're telling me you can do anything in this city?
Pretty much.
Don't doubt this city.
Let your dreams come to life when you least expect it.
Sometimes life happens.
Yeah.
Oh.
So where? Oh. So why aren't you guys going back? And where do you usually go back?
Well, we're just not going back because it's really expensive. And I made like 3 trips back east in the last 3 months. So that, and also we thought it would be kind of nice to have our own Christmas for the first time because we have been together out here 6 years now. So it's like, oh, this is a good time. But we usually go to Virginia because my parents have lived there for like 10 years now and John's parents live about an hour away in Richmond.
And that's just a coincidence?
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Very interesting. Well, we met at Virginia Tech, so I guess the odds that you're going to be in-state are higher. But neither of them live near Tech. And then John has family up in Massachusetts, so... Last year, we spent Christmas at a lake house in Massachusetts, as his grandmother's lake house. And it was like the most gorgeous Christmas.
Snowy?
Oh, snowy, crunchy. Oh, it was so wonderful.
That sounds so beautiful.
Golden retrievers. Like anything you could love about what you want to wake up to.
Crackling fire.
Crackling fire. Hot cocoa.
Oh, come on. Ooh. Come on.
That's so I'm not going to do that this year, and I'm okay with that.
But this will be good. Yeah. You'll have a really good. I've already given you like 3 things that you have to do for Christmas.
Those are all good.
If
I'm
not
do them all.
If not 2.
Yeah, if not 1.
I gave you three things. I gave you Angela's Forest,
the Walt Disney Concert Hall, and Olvera Street for the cara.
Las posadas, you name it. Oh, this is great. This is going to be a great Christmas.
Thank you. Are you staying here?
I probably will.
No definite plans, Miss Varney's playing hard to get this Christmas.
I haven't had that many offers, guys. I'm really bad about deciding what I'm doing for the holidays. A lot of that has to do with the fact that we're so deep in Sketchfest.
Yeah.
That every year I'm like, I can't see past the day. Yeah. Like what today, if I can just get through today and get some work done.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much like that up until Sketchfest starts. So we've been much better the last few years about taking a little bit of holiday time off, but it's impossible for me to make a decision. So I'm talking about maybe going the gentleman in my life from his family lives on Long Island, and that sounds like kind of
online.
Online,
red flag.
Red flag, but also, what does that even mean?
Let's go.
So I don't know. There was a discussion of maybe going to the East Coast I was about to say for a New York minute, for a second. So maybe that, otherwise I'll probably be here. But the last, pretty much the entire time I've lived in LA, I think I've been here on Christmas Day every day since I moved here.
How many years? What's the count?
I think this will be my 8th Christmas in Los Angeles.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, one and all. And God loves everyone. Okay, so Virginia.
Yeah.
I've been over-talking.
No,
this is one
haven't.
Of those podcasts
no,
where
haven't.
I've been... No, no, I've definitely been talking more, but it's because I haven't seen you
and
we're
we've
friends.
Got a lot to say.
And
yep.
So this really is just a conversation.
Feels good.
Feels really Woo! Good. And side note, guys, Vanessa is sitting on the floor. I recently... shouted out Allison Rosen when we did the podcast together because she chose to sit on the floor, and frequently my guests are on the couch and I'm on the floor.
Really?
So I like that you hunkered down with me.
I prefer the floor.
I do too.
Over every time. Every
Give
time.
Give it to me every
and
time.
And you know what? People sometimes get uncomfortable with that. Like if there's people on the couch and you sit on the floor, everyone's like, I'll get up.
There's like a big kerfuffle about like, this is impolite of us.
I don't have to decide like where to put my feet because we're all on the same level.
Yes.
I can squiggle around.
Yeah, I like to squiggle and wriggle sometimes. If my back's being kooky, I actually will just lie down
exactly.
for a second.
You can put your feet
cares?
Over your head. Yeah. I always thought, like, I've never seen grown-ups really doing that in, you know, my head, like, what a grown-up is. Like, my parents, like,
agreed.
Never saw my mom rolling around on the floor, but I can't imagine that I'll ever stop because it just feels good.
I
don't think
I will either. And I will say that my mom is a little bit of a floor roller around her on her. Mm. Yeah. My dad, not so much, but my mom is.
Just get down there and do what you gotta do.
Yeah. She's not afraid. So, Virginia.
Yeah.
Is not your name. I want to be clear that I didn't just accidentally call you Virginia instead of Vanessa. Listen, Virginia, yes, I'm delighted to have you.
It's great to be here.
Is that where you went to high school as well?
High school. And then I went to Virginia Tech.
Virginia is one of those areas that you can either kind of be closer to DC and have it be a little more metropolitan and a little more like that, or it can be very rural, right?
Petersburg, the capital of the Civil War there for a while. I was really close to Petersburg. So that's like an hour south of Richmond.
Okay.
So like 3.5 hours from DC, less metropolitan. It's still very metropolitan, Prince George High. No, it was not. It was very out in the boondocks. But I don't mind that. I don't mind that. I lived in upstate New York when I was little. Well, first Tennessee, then upstate New York.
While the moving around.
My dad just switched jobs. It was like corporate.
Okay.
Like people always think army, but it was just corporate stuff, like working for one company and then got transferred. My whole family's from Tennessee. So I lived there until I was about 6, then moved to upstate New York for about 5 or 6 years, and then back to Tennessee for a short stint while my dad... I forgot that I totally suppressed this memory.
Interesting.
My dad made this big life change and opened with some friends this gold mining store called Gold River Mining, the Adel Sluice in the store. And that was in Nashville, and that was like a very bizarre year and a half of my life.
Interesting. So he decided to leave the corporate... What is his job?
He's an engineer, is what his degrees are in. And then, but he had been like a company vice president for a company that makes like ink rolls for printers and things like that. So he'd started in product design and then moved up in that. And then... I don't know. I still like look back. We don't talk about that in my family. But recently, John said something, and I was like, "Oh, Gold River Mining." And I'd never told him about this chapter of life. It was horrible. We moved when I was at my ugliest ever, maybe, to a school.
When you were what, like 12?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying that because I assume you were ugly at 12. Only was just doing the math because you said 6 years.
Yeah. So about 12 from a school I loved in upstate New York that was probably like 100 kids in my grade, everybody, it was really near Hamilton College and Colgate. So most of the kids were like professors' kids. It was such a good little experience. And then to a huge school in Tennessee, there's like, you know, 2000 kids. They hated me because I had like didn't have a Southern accent. Ooh. And also I was so weird. So that didn't help anything.
You were so weird.
So weird.
I love it already.
So I was moonlighting at Gold River Mining while I was in whatever grade that was.
What did they sell exactly? Like gold?
So you
like,
come in, like you could get your ore from the machine, you'd sit down at the sluice and pan through your ore to see if you had any jewels. And then you would, if you wanted to, you could turn it into jewelry there. And they also had an opal room, a showroom full of opals.
First
dinosaur
of all,
bones were there. What wasn't in the...
I'll tell you what. It's very easy for me to picture all of this because, as you may or may not know, my dad writes books about ghost towns and mining camps.
There you go.
So I know
tapping
more about
like
the gold rush and just, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And the idea of the same people who buy my dad's books would be going to your dad's
and
store.
And it was really close to Opryland and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So... I think that was like, it'll be kind of a feeder fish to the attractions in Nashville.
So it only lasted a year and a half.
Yeah,
so
I don't think it went well.
Yeah.
I don't really know what happened.
Because no one will talk about
it. And it was like my parents had just built their
dream
house.
How old was he? Is it possible that was part of like a very mild midlife crisis for him?
I think he's probably had a few. Probably one midlife. I think just because he had fallen into he's a very creative person. And I think he'd fallen into like a real corporate kind of job. So it was probably exciting to do that. And they were moving back to their hometown after being in New York, which I loved as a kid, but I think probably was really hard for my parents. Like looking back, that must have been strange for them. So I don't really know what all was going on there, but it was super bizarre. And then we moved to Virginia when I was still ugly, but less ugly. I don't think I look good now, but what I looked like, it was no, you know how you want to go back and be like, why didn't anyone tell this little girl not to braid her hair so many times? Like, so many braids on my head and so many accessories. And like, I had a Mickey Scorpio shirt that I just wore the hell out of.
A Mickey Scorpio shirt?
It's like the signs of Zodiac with Mickey on.
Someone combined Walt Disney characters with astrology?
Yeah.
It was that really, is marvelous. That,
and I had a Miss Piggy. Oh, no. It was Pigtoria's Secret shirt that I thought was hilarious.
Let's just say that again for the listeners. Pigtoria's Secret.
She was in the bustier.
Well, first of all, I guess okay, a couple things. Number one, was this something that was Victoria's Secret related? Like, I'm trying to remember, because I do remember the Muppets being involved in parody.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think if it was like it was a Muppets brand thing making fun of the idea of Victoria's Secret, or if somehow it was in conjunction with the company Victoria's Secret.
I don't know, because I think it was really pushing those boundaries, because it was like the exact Victoria's Secret logo. Yeah. I didn't really know what any of that was, but it was like this, it had like this long thing, like this sexy, sassy, bustier. I memorized this whole shirt, and I would if somebody complimented me, I would just read off the whole, Vanessa.
Victoria's Secret.
I really loved Miss Piggy. Miss Piggy's Guide to Life. Had that book, loved it.
I liked Miss Piggy too, but fan. I guess I didn't.
Accessorize with her?
I guess I didn't accessorize with her.
You have to take it.
I guess if I
are we allowed to go to the bathroom in the show?
Oh yeah, I can just pause it. You want to?
Do I have to pause the microphone?
No, I'm just going to pause the podcast. Everybody knows sometimes life happens. Yeah, guys, that might be the first pee break.
Oh, it is. I knew it would be. I have to pee every podcast that we do. Popping culture, not that we do, but now,
from now
historically,
on, from
yes, I do.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, it's totally
just
okay.
Can't make it, and then I start getting nervous.
I will the opportunity. If someone affords me the opportunity to pee because they need to, take it. I'll do it.
It's like more anxiety for me once I have to pee a little bit about thinking about when am I going to ask? When am I, if I don't,
I totally
you know.
Understand.
Yeah, so thank you so much.
I get like that. I feel really I safe always have to sit on the aisle in a movie.
Yeah.
What I rarely have to actually get up in the middle of a movie,
knowing,
but just knowing.
Because otherwise,
I don't have to clamber over people.
Oh, yes.
Side note related to that, and related to going to see Christmas programming, I had a little bit of a panic attack the last time I was at Walt Disney Hall, because the seats that we had gotten for said Fiddler, maybe it was for a different one. I can't. I've
Let's
been
hope
to.
It's
I,
for the
I go
the,
to more than one, but was the seats were so the seats were like you know it was that balcony where. I don't know. If you've been to Walt Disney Concert Hall, the balcony is so steep.
Yeah.
That and there's so little space
so
for
narrow.
Your knees that we were sitting in the first row of the really high balcony, like nosebleed seats. And I got vertigo.
Oh,
I was like,
no.
I feel like I'm going to fall over the
Have
side.
Have you had vertigo before?
Yeah, kind of sometimes.
Never had it.
It was terrible.
I'm
and so for the yeah, you should be.
It's a very glamorous issue.
I really
vertigo.
And we were in the middle, and it's so tight with people in
and
the middle,
music.
And there's no that all I could think was, what if I have a panic attack
and
I have to get and I fall forward, or I have to get out quickly because I feel trapped, and what if I have that? And so in thinking, what if I have that? I kind of gave
you
it
gave
to
it
myself.
To yourself, yeah. Ooh,
and we in an intermission, we all ended up moving to seats that were not as intense.
I had a very similar memory come back from about, I guess I was probably 14 or 15 at a theater competition, naturally. And we were in a big auditorium full of people. They were about to do the awards part. And I was sitting on the floor at this huge auditorium. Like there's chairs everywhere, but I was sitting down with my legs crossed on the floor. And I started thinking oh no, I think my legs are going to fall asleep. I need to get up. I'd been sitting for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept thinking, I just have to get up because my legs might fall asleep. But how will I know if they've fallen asleep because they're not tingling or anything? So then at the exact wrong time, I tried to stand up and they were both asleep. I just fell down the stairs of the auditorium.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wait, were you hurt?
No, I fall all the time. And later that day, I fell in some mud. It was a bad day.
Do I fall or do I trip? I guess I trip frequently, but my version of that is that I certainly drop things a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And I spill things. I would say I spill something liquid once a day.
Oh, me too, at least.
I overturn a glass
around the house. I wear a shirt that John calls my bib. because I'm just like, I can't wear real clothes if I'm going to eat today.
We are birds of a feather.
It's
possible that, I don't know if birds are that messy. I've never seen a bird in a bib, but.
No, birds are messy in their own way. They just toss it. They've got those beaks to toss it. We have these flat little mouths, so it just falls right on us.
Beaks.
Oh, God.
What if someone invented a solution to messy eating that involved essentially a beak? Yeah.
I'm in.
I'm totally on board. I can't remember what we were talking about. Oh, Virginia. We're talking about Virginia. Oh, yeah, Virginia. Okay, so the Muppets, Victoria's Secret. Mm-hmm. So, and I really hope that whatever teen photo we end up putting up for you on the podcast represents that in some way.
Yeah.
But, so when you moved, okay, so then you guys quietly, without another word, we'll never speak of this
Gold
again.
River Mining again.
You moved to, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad got a different corporate job.
Yep.
You had to go back to the grind.
And
Virginia was the first time any of you had lived in Virginia.
Right.
Okay.
And my sister she had just finished her senior year. We moved from New York during her senior year. So she had to do her senior year in Tennessee, which actually wasn't as destructive to her as I think it might have been to me. And then she was going to college randomly in Virginia. She went to Roanoke College she enrolled there while we were still living in New York or Tennessee at that time.
And you just have the one sister, you and your older sister?
Okay. So we moved to Virginia and it was like a whole different life because my sister was out of the house for the first time. Like she was off at college. We were in this big old farmhouse and I was nervous. I moved a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And I think a good lesson to anybody that's moving or going through a life change, it's going to suck for like 2 months and then it'll be great. You just have to get used to that first 2 months of just like,
sometimes it takes a little longer than 2 months but
yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's just hard when people try to convince you that it's never going to, oh no, you're great. It'll be fine. It's going to be really hard. There's a lot of different stuff going on.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So
that you're not so hard on yourself and so afraid of it not ever getting better.
And you're thinking you're not doing a good job or people don't like you or whatever it is. It just takes people a long time, both sides.
Did you start, maybe you just said this and I missed it, but did you start high school in Virginia?
Eighth grade. So it was still
Kind of coming into a school where like everybody kind of knew each other, opposed to feeding into a high school where it could have been a lot of new people.
Could have been a different kid, no. And it was a very close-knit group and just weird. It was weird. I guess new schools are always different. And I'm so surprised that those years in New York, like my elementary school years, essentially, really affected the way I thought about people or what, I mean, I'm like, that's how people can relate. And that was so young, but for some reason, the other stuff always felt different to me. Like I never got a new starting base for what felt good. So that was like a very conservative crowd, a very like people wearing big dog shirts, you know, did you have big dog shirts?
I've
no fear. A lot of no fear.
Yeah. I was trying to think of what group of people would have worn big dog shirts.
Rednecks.
No fear. Yeah.
A lot of rednecks, like a lot of hunting and stuff like that. And then the other group was like kind of country club. And I just didn't really fit into either of those. And I think my parents didn't either. So I was really confused about like where.
Yeah.
And there's Fort Lee is a military place very close by. So there were army kids, but it was basically like rich kids, army kids and rednecks.
And so who did you end up becoming friends with?
Always a random assortment my whole life of just like really nice people, usually nerds, like smart kids that don't care.
And yeah.
People that are obsessed with something are always fun, like interesting people.
Yeah.
So I just ended up finding people through school with interest. And then theater was the big thing that I met, the people that would become my core group of people, you know?
Yeah. And do you still feel like you were ugly duckling in high school?
Oh, yeah. I'm just weird. You know what I mean? Like, so awkward. So awkward. Like, you don't know how to do hair. Things like that where it's just like, why didn't a mom or somebody tell me, like, you can blow dry that?
Are your parents still together?
Yeah.
And your sister, is she like you or is
no.
she really girly and
She was a ballerina, really good pianist, really, really, like, likes to follow the rules and high achiever, like I guess a very typical first child. And then I was just like crazy and chubby and so much energy and not like that. Like, so many
did you
braids.
Have, one of the things that I so many braids. One of the things that that I think, you know, people who listen to your podcast recognize and one of the things that I think makes us friends is that we enjoy being self-effacing and we enjoy sort of, we enjoy the recognition of our kind of quirks and foibles and faults getting it out there. And yes. just kind of loving on yeah. it and just being like, I'm yeah. nuts and it's great. Fine. Or, yeah. yeah. Did you have an awareness about yourself and that you were different in that same kind of loving, lovable way when you were younger? Or did you not That's have the perspective question. To sort of see what other people might be seeing and kind of, you know?
I was so busy, honestly. Like as a, I really liked, I was doing theater, I was doing hard classes and yearbook and Model UN, Trinidad and Tobago. Hey,
oh, Model UN. Yeah. This is a first.
Oh, yeah.
Really? I don't think I've had anybody who talked about being on well, people,
that's the first rule of Model UN. The Model UN.
so you're not supposed to talk about it. Damn it.
Some really good anecdotes.
Is it possible you only think you were in the Model UN, but really you your alter ego personality yeah, was that's entirely telling stories to yourself? in a Brad Pitt type manner.
That was a train wreck.
So the Model UN, did you pick your... First of all, I got to break it down further. I mean, I get that the Model UN is like, we're pretending that we're the UN. I get yeah. that. I'm not that stupid.
I wouldn't put it in those words, but...
I apologize. If I misspeak anything about the Model UN, I really apologize. So would you talk about real... I guess this is what I'm wondering is like, were you talking about real issues as if you were trying to solve the world's problems as the UN? That's or was it question. Like you talk about school stuff?
No, you don't... Basically, what happened in my school was we found out the big UN trip, like the National Model UN Association or whatever it is, has a big trip to New York every year, and we wanted to go to New York. So I think it was maybe the year, like AP History or US History or something like that. We were like, let's go to New York. And one really smart girl in our class like filled out all the paperwork, and then another really smart guy in our class kind of handled everything. And so we would like meet once a week or something to get, you know, to like hammer out the things. And they send you what country you're assigned.
Oh, okay.
And I think because our school didn't have any history of competing, they gave us Trinidad and Tobago, which like while the other countries were discussing really global issues, their biggest issue that year was the father rape situation. We were supposed to discuss, like, we don't sit, like, you don't Wait, sit I on don't, all the panels.
I should know this already, but I can't say it's ringing a bell.
I could be fuzzy on these details. I wasn't. Okay. But basically, there was a problem with dads really wanting their daughters to stay virgins, and, like, the only way they would find out was by testing it at a certain age.
Oh,
and so
no.
I think that's right. And like it was kind of other governments coming in and trying to stop that because also disease was spreading and it's just, you know, it's abhorrent. So those were like the issues they were giving
that's
these
a very mature
10th graders who want to yeah. go to New York for
like, oh that's, my God.
And we got, I don't even really remember how it all played out, but we were like all broken up into like 2-person teams to be like, your specialty is this. I think I was doing agriculture maybe with my friend Aaron, a boy. And we were like just goober best friends that were so not doing a good job at the UN. And then we went to the UN. Like you go to the actual UN, you're discussing all the real issues. They like the kids we met at that UN conference, like that is a movie. Those people are intense. Everyone had suits. Like I had on like a velvet blazer from Goodwill and like a tapestry skirt with my grandma wedge shoes. And it's like, people have briefcases. Where am I? Oh, it was really bad. And then we met with UN delegates, but Trinidad and Tobago wasn't available. So we met with someone from Canada and they were talking like it was like 15 of these people. My like peers in a room with this Canadian delegate, and there was a person, another school was there. That's what happened. There was two schools because we were with the people that were there representing Canada, and they're like, can Trinidad and Tobago come?
They let me tag along because it's Canada and they're nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody knows Canada's nice.
They can't do anything
about it. They open their arms to everyone.
Who, the poor, the hungry.
Yep, Trinidad all the people who get rejected from the United States because we think we're so cool, but we're jerks.
Yep.
They all go over to Canada.
Come to us. Come to
run away
mama.
From the war in Canada.
Oh, the other school was so together. We all had to ask questions too. Our teacher was like, everyone has to go around and ask a question. I was freaking out the whole time. Like, what am I going to ask about Canada? I ended up literally asking something about, like, so the moose population, like,
well, the, it was, you were into agriculture.
Yeah, what can I do? I'm agriculture, and that's what I knew about Canada. But there was a person from the other school.
By the
was,
way, I don't know why I just suggested that somehow the moose population would involve agriculture.
It could eat on the farms. That yeah. could be a big issue. Who knows? Who knows? There's this kid from the other school that kept raising his hand and talking. And he had, like, the funniest voice ever. And we were in the UN.
I mean, you are describing, like, a Wes Anderson movie. It definitely sounds like...
Maybe this was just Noah a movie. Bombass, like. No, this was real. And everyone was listening so intently, especially the smart girl from my school who put this whole thing together. Like, we were already disappointing her this whole time. Like, she was
ashamed of you.
Yeah. And then I and started laughing skirt. So bad because I knew you're not supposed to laugh. And it's, like, such a small, quiet room. But this guy's voice was so funny. So I'm shaking with laughter and, like, pinching myself until I bleed under the table. Oh, I still no. remember, like, me hiking up my skirt and just pinching my thighs, like, don't do this.
No.
And then I was just losing it. I was losing it. And afterwards, my teacher pulled me aside, like, outside, and she liked me the whole year, but she was, I'm very disappointed in you. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I just, like, that guy's voice. And she was like, he was deaf. It was a deaf man. No. And I've been laughing at a deaf man the whole time.
Oh, no.
And I never looked up. I was just looking down, pinching my thighs. Ugh. There it is. That's my Model UN experience. That's what I answer when you say, so did you talk about the real issues? You sure did.
Dreadful.
Found out I was a horrible
what
person.
A
that
wonderful trip. What was, a wonderful trip.
It was.
Mm. Well, but you were so busy. It sounds like you.
Oh, yeah.
You did. You even as a misfit, you weren't necessarily plagued by the same sort
no.
of like. I mean, I was, you know, everybody who listens to the podcast knows I was. I was like. I was happy in many ways, but I also was, like, really unhappy and angsty in a lot of ways, too.
I feel like as my freshman year of high school, I made friends with a popular girl, like a very typical, you know, mean girl almost. And yeah. that was, like, very bewitching to me because I'd never been in those groups. I've always just hung out with, like, nerdy smart kids with, like, big, big interests. But it was, like, a seductive kind of friendship. The way, I mean, I never had a friend that was like, let's go shopping. Like, things like that that are, like, girl things. I never did that. And so I was kind of like, oh, who's this creature? And she taught me how to straighten my hair. And, like, I was sitting at the cool kids' table. And I remember that's when I felt the worst about myself. Like, I never knew how much I didn't fit in, or I never cared until you're sitting there and you're like, oh, I am not like this. I'm so uncomfortable. I didn't feel liked at all. And I also felt like I was in the exact wrong place. And then one day I was straightening my hair and I dropped the straightener on my head and I got a big scab on my head and on my forehead. Oh. And then I just stopped sitting at that table. And it was like a new life. And I think I always was very aware of, like, I was definitely sad and aware that I didn't, like, fit in all the broader ways, but I had a really good group of small, like, a small group of friends that were all so weird and different. Like, it was, like, the most group of misfits of just, like, weird Asian kid, like, the who's still one of my best friends now, this girl that's just, like, gorgeous and was somehow popular and artsy, and, like, she was, like, Rachel Lee Cook from all those movies. Just, like, she's wearing the glasses, but we all know what's going on under there. And I don't know. I just had a really good group around me, but I always was, like, hyper aware that I wasn't, like, I couldn't be cool. Do you know what I mean? Like, whatever that word meant.
Yeah.
I didn't even want to be it because I was like, I don't get what's going on. That's how I felt. Like, I don't understand what pants are good or, like, why yeah. those pants are good.
Yeah.
So I never really tried, I guess.
Listen, I'm 100% on board for the person who acknowledges that it seems so far away that it's like a different language.
Yeah. And realizing, I think it was that freshman year, realizing I don't, like, those boys were not nice or smart. Like, I was used to my good guy friends that were interesting and funny. And these guys, and this is just, like, a small sect of the population. I don't mean this, like, popular guys aren't nice, but, like, sitting around a bunch of jocks and stuff, I realized there's nothing in me that is interested at all or having fun. And even the way they're treating girls at age 13 made me feel, like, fat and weird and sad and, like, so strange. It's so strange the way those little issues can just be, like, for me, it just made me want to run away from it. Of like, I have my friends in the theater. I have my friends that write. I have, like, that's what I'll do.
And so what were the boys that you did get crushes on, or like movie stars that you were like, he's my perfect guy, or whatever?
Cary Grant and Jimmy Stewart were the two boys I always had big, huge crushes on.
Yeah.
I don't think... I know there was a picture of William H. Macy in my room in high school.
Love it.
I think those were really the only guys. I didn't have any crushes. I have Zac Efron now, but I was going to say, I still don't. I have a few.
Well, look, now you have a crush on somebody that normally, like a normal...
Right?
I don't, by the way, please, right? Normal. But I know. Like, I've gone mainstream. You weren't, but, yep. You know, yeah. To
think look what's
that
happened.
That you, now that you're experiencing that...
I get it. I guess I finally get it.
It's adorable.
I don't think I had other... I mean, I really liked Tom Jones and like those... I just didn't have a thing. And then I ended up with... dating a boy for probably like 2.5-3 years of high school that was a volleyball player, super nice guy, did tech for the theater shows, like just the nicest person. Nicest people.
2.5-3 years is a long time to be in high school to be in a relationship. I remember being in relationships that lasted 3 months and feeling like we're practically married. I gotta get out of this.
Well, I had one quick relationship. Like my first boyfriend was like 9th grade, like with a popular boy. He was also like I see now like on the outskirts of the pop, like we were at the same level
you
of like
each other
the
in
entree
the sort of, yeah.
into that world. He ended up succeeding and I quit. But
well,
it was,
he didn't drop a straightening iron on his forehead.
I know.
So he wasn't given that gift.
And he did play soccer. So he was stuck.
Yeah.
He was stuck in that world. But that was one of those quick relationships that I still have like things I wrote myself, I think, at that time, or that he wrote, where it was like we'd been together a month and it was like, oh, I just love you. You know, like you're so in love with
Yes. But all of that still feels real to me. It doesn't feel like those feelings. I don't look back at those feelings and go, oh, silly me. I still look back at them and I'm like, yeah, I really love that guy.
And I'm so jealous of like the level, how shallow those emotions are under your skin at that age, where it feels so new and so huge. Like that is that's a really amazing thing. I loved that.
That's a quick, Vanessa guys, Anne of Green Gables is back with a vengeance.
Oh,
she made a large appearance at the beginning, first few episodes of the podcast, and
she
disappeared
back,
for a long
that
time.
Redhead is back.
Then I brought her back up, I think, last week, and now I'm bringing her up again because I have to, guys, because Vanessa and I very, very
love
much
Anne.
Have that in common. Vanessa is, I mean, of all the podcast guests I've had, get ready for this compliment. Of all the podcast guests I've had who love Anne of Green Gables, and all due respect to every single one of them, you are the most like actual Anne of Green Gables.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I thought you were going to say I liked her the most.
No. No, you are the most like the character of Anne in a lot of ways to me.
Oh my gosh.
In terms of being embodied by a physical regular person.
I love her so much.
Yeah, I would say, and that's a huge compliment because I would want to be Anne, you know what I mean?
Oh,
But yeah, it goes back to that idea of like being kind of on the outskirts, understanding that you're different. On one hand, it hurts that you're different, but on the other hand, you're proud of the fact that you're different.
Yeah.
I think that's very Anne specific.
Yeah.
And also that the level of emotion, just the level of like,
ooh.
I love feeling the highs.
And the temper and all, the, like,
yeah.
I
mean,
I
she's
love that
basically bipolar.
Yeah.
But we all are.
Fine.
When
yeah.
we're adolescents, we're all basically bipolar.
And
I don't
funny
mean,
how
I mean,
quickly adults forget that, like when dealing with teens. Like, I think people.
And I don't know how you could forget that.
I don't either.
That stuff is emblazoned. And you guys know from my history with mental illness that in no way am I making light
glossing
of bipolarity.
Over,
yeah. In no way at all. But I really mean it. I mean, those the manic highs and the devastating lows, and some people like, you know, sort of react to that in more dramatic ways that are not good for them. And some of us kind of hold on to that stuff longer because it is part of our brain's chemistry. And then some people's hormones kind of calm down and then they just like kind of mellow out and plateau. But that time for people, I think we're more unified emotionally as a species at that time than in any other time.
I agree. And I think those books actually helped me a lot. I mean, cause I was thinking like, why didn't I feel weirder? Cause I know I was really acutely aware of like my place in things, and I was well liked by people. I wasn't like a misfit where people were mean to me, except maybe some boys that like were kind of uncomfortable. I was mouthy and silly, and that's not like a louder, funny girl, quote unquote, is not always like a boy's favorite person.
Yeah.
But I think overall, I had a, you know, friends in every group. But it was books like, I loved A Tree Grows in Brooklyn. I read that like a million times.
It's a wonderful book.
And that and like, there were just a few books that
did
like...
Did you read A Wrinkle in Time?
Oh, yeah. Madeline Lingle. I love her. Have you read her books like A Circle of Quiet, the...
her adult books?
Yes.
I haven't.
They're beautiful.
I have got to. I'm writing this down because beautiful. I always forget about Madeline. A Wrinkle in Time is like my Bible, and I don't know if I've talked about this much.
I just reread it two weeks ago.
I'm going to say I read it twice a year.
It's good.
It's like the Bible for
yes.
me. I don't believe in the Bible, yeah. but when I read A Wrinkle in Time, I feel like I'm connecting with. Like the goodness of humanity in a very specific way.
Well, it's like
way.
Meg is Anne, too.
Meg is Anne.
You know?
The braces, the glasses, the
not
tangly
knowing
hair,
where you fit in,
the
but
not
having
knowing,
kind of...
Feeling proud of your intelligence, but also feeling this longing for almost wishing you weren't so bright.
And then you get the ultimate fulfillment of finding out you have a purpose. I think that's like huge of that unfolding before you. But you should read her. She has a series of, they're basically memoirs, and there's... four books or maybe five books, but they're all beautiful. It's like poetry. I mean, she is just talking about her life in the biggest, smartest way. And yeah, I loved Wrinkle in Time.
I mean, I read all of them, but A Wrinkle in Time is the best.
It's by far
the best.
Door
and Swiftly Tilting Planet. Yeah. They're not as good. And I think part of the reason they're not as good is because they're not about Meg.
Yeah, I do too. Oh, what is the one further on with that's just about
the twins?
Yeah.
That might be The Wind in the Door, but the whole thing about, the two twins, they're just not, they were like the really well-adjusted characters.
Yeah, they were like the golden boys, and then they go on an adventure, and you're like, they're going to be fun.
Yeah. No, you really are. You're like, ugh, those two. They've got each other. They're handsome. They're athletic. Come on.
They're liked at home.
They're liked at home.
There's no worst case scenario.
What's the problem here? I can't believe we're just shitting on Madeline Lingle right now. How dare she write those books? But A Wrinkle in Time is extraordinary. But yeah, I mean, that stuff, those things that help you feel understood in the times that you're alone. I think we all have that. We carry that with us now, but then as well. Your social time is so social, and your alone time is so profoundly alone in when you're a teenager.
That's
also
so well said.
And
yeah.
So having things that really speak to you, that like, you know, get you through,
and
are
you feel
huge.
Understood, but still like it's your secret.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I always felt a lot of pressure to be on with people and to be the listening friend and the silly person, and so like books for me were huge of just. Like somehow feeling like I was getting it all out, but really it was just like, you know, laying it onto a character and getting done with it. So those books were huge and feeling normal, because you're like, this has been going on for a while. There's been girls like this. Like it's going to be okay.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
And almost all those girls start on those books with bad hair too, just for the record.
Yeah, everybody
always
hate
their
hair. Problems.
Yeah.
They do always hate their hair. They definitely always hate their hair. There's no
doubt always wisps.
But were you also, because I was also fascinated by, in very much not the same way, but because I was, I loved those books and I also loved Ray Bradbury. I've probably talked about this before, but I've hungrily devoured every one of his books and short stories from when I was too young to even understand why I liked him so much. Because my dad introduced me to him.
My dad loves Ray Bradbury.
Huge, huge, huge. And so, so his stories also, but I also read, like, there was a period of time when, you know what, it's like, you read them before you're supposed to, and then by the time you're the right age, you couldn't give a crap. But like the Sweet Valley High books.
Yeah.
I feel like I read those when I was in like sixth grade or seventh grade, because I was fascinated with the idea of like the popular girls
and, like,
in high school. And being a teenager. and then, you know, you are a teenager, and I was like, please, I need to put my Depeche Mode cassette tape in. I can't be bothered with like this, you know, popular girl bullshit. But it's like it's made for a time when you sort of romanticize what it would be like to be that sort of popular girl. But I'd feel a little bit of shame about it also.
No, I read all those Babysitter Club's book.
I don't know if I've read the Babysitter's Club.
It's like, I mean, that's weird when your wish fulfillment is to be a babysitter. Like, that's what it's like. Oh, God, someday I'm going to be a babysitter.
I did love babysitting, though. I was just talking about that with someone that, like, I really was, because I just, at Thanksgiving, there was... one little, there were two little girls at this Thanksgiving dinner that I was at and no other kids. And, well, there was a little brand new baby, but the 2-year-old was just like, she's just running around like a scamp. And then the 6-year-old is, I'm sorry. She's in third grade. So she's probably like 10, right? 9 or 10. She was all by herself it was a lovely group of people. Yeah. She was very welcomed, but I so immediately gravitate towards that person. Yep. Like we went over into a corner. I put her hair in braids and put it up like a little crown. Uh-huh. Then I started to do mine and I did one and she was like, it looks good like that. So I was walking around with one braid over my head and then the rest of my hair
down.
That's
what I used to do when I say too many braids. I used a braid as a headband.
I love a headband. Ooh. Braid. I'm into it.
It's kind of in now.
Oh, it's in now. Yeah.
I was just ahead of my time.
You were ahead of your time, you pioneer. But you know, just being in a corner and being imaginative and yep. like being with a kid is like, I have no idea where I was going with this, but
I don't either. But I agree. I mean, I loved babysitting.
That's where I want to be. Oh, babysitting. Yeah. Yes, thank you. That is what yeah. it was, which was that I was like, Dan was teasing me about it and was like, you know, it was so funny. Like I would overhear you and it would make me laugh because everything I overheard was such a cliche of like little kids playing something. Aww. Like he's like, I would hear her be like, but the robot told us that the gold was buried on a different island. And that's an actual quote, a direct quote from what we were playing on Thanksgiving. And I was like, I got really smug and I was like, I mean, I was the best babysitter. Like I was like the most requested babysitter for the kids I babysat because I was so active. We would watch movies if they wanted to, but otherwise we were like, you know, doing creating something. Crazy, yep. fantastic imagination stories and I would play with them. I didn't, you know, I loved like the escape into, you know, we're all tiny. We all got shrunk down and we're living in this crazy world where like we can live in a teacup.
Nothing is better to me than sitting outside with a kid, like under a tree and like building a little house out of things.
Please.
And then just talking about the stories that are happening.
That's the thing. I got to bring this up too. And we're running out of time. There are a couple of things I definitely want to do with you, but we both love tiny things.
We love tiny things.
We love tiny things.
It's a big bonding thing, like miniatures. And you can get them on Overa Street.
Yes, you can.
I'm
That's one of the reasons
up.
I like the Christmas ornaments on Overa Street, too, is like just the ornaments are just like, and that's probably yeah. why I love ornaments so yep. much, is that they are these miniaturized versions yeah. of things. Yeah, Vanessa and I both like to make little dioramas. There's some
good.
Beautiful boxes. If you feel like sharing a picture of one of the yeah. boxes that you've built, we'll put that up on the Facebook
Absolutely.
Page and on the Pinterest account. Yeah, I love that, too. And I love the making of that stuff as much as the purchasing
exactly.
or someone else having made yeah. it. I love equal. Like I'm not going to pretend like I was so, you know, au naturel that I was like, I don't have time for that dollhouse. Like I need to, you know, build mine. I wanted a dollhouse inside, but I would like have the dollhouse and then you find like a stick outside and you somehow,
yes.
you involve that or
like the
you build,
hours
you take the bed to the outside and have like a mossy
yes.
cave that has a bed in
Ripping
it.
Ripping up moss and laying it down as carpet is like
God,
the most satisfying
the
feeling.
Yes.
Oh, I could spend 100%. Hours and hours. Like to me, that is the ultimate meditation or whatever it is. Is like little things,
agreed.
Especially outside, like turning acorn cups into things.
Yes,
it's a very good feeling. And kids go along with you. Like people think kids need to be stimulated so much. You get a kid imagining something and talking.
Yeah.
Doesn't stop.
Okay, guys, the plumber's done. So hang on for a second. We're taking a short break. By the way, it will seem as if no time has passed for you guys. That's the magic of podcasting. Hey, guys.
Bad news from the plumber.
I think we're gonna have to take another break in a second. Listen, sometimes life happens. Sometimes, comma, when
life
you least
happens.
Expect it, comma. No,
ellipses.
Life happens. The dogs are barking. Guys, I don't want to alarm anyone, but it's possible that there are tree roots in my mainline pipe because there's a problem with like the dishwasher and the washing machine.
That sounds downright like medieval.
There's a lot of homeowner problems that come up that you're like, oh, I thought owning a house would be like super fun, and instead it's like there's always a million
and, like,
things
like you
going
have
wrong.
To deal with the tree's
and
roots
you're the person
growing.
Who has to deal with it.
No thanks.
Girls got to be able to do her laundry, guys.
Mm.
We're gonna play a game of MASH.
Okay.
You know what that is?
Yeah.
Some people don't remember what MASH is until we're doing it.
You know the rules, right? I don't have to know the rules.
I'm just
going to
ask
the board.
You for names.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm asking this you is exciting. For, and this is like whatever you want, could be like the representation of young Vanessa. It could be a combination of both. It could be,
I'll just go with,
like, for example, I will ask you for the names of three guys that you will marry. One of them, you'll end up marrying one of them.
And they can be anything.
Anything.
It's so stressful. I'm like, who do I pick? Okay, I'm gonna go to young Vanessa for this one.
Okay.
What was his name? Was his name Cary Grant? No. Cary. Can I just say Cary?
Which Cary?
Cary James.
Cary James?
It was in my middle school.
Oh, Cary James. Great. Cary James. Professor. And then- Professor. Scott, all right, guys, clearly I'm gonna have to pause it. No, he's walking,
he's leaving. Should they all be famous?
No, okay. Not at all. It can be whatever you want. I mean, it's more fun for the listener, I guess.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. So,
professor.
Sorry, I feel guys. So stressed out. This is how I feel about trivia. Like, I can't even
It's
know
even
myself.
More stressful that the dogs are all barking and stuff, too. This okay. is the mess. This is the okay. sloppiest messiest podcast game. Episode. Certainly the messiest mash game that's ever been played. Guys, what can I tell you? This is what's happening on this episode. I think it makes sense that that's Vanessa and me in this one. It's good.
It just feels right.
It could be happening with a better person.
Okay, let's go with who sings It's Hip to Be Square?
Him. Huey Lewis. Yeah. I couldn't. The only thing I don't like about this is that it means you might end up with him instead of me. Huey Lewis. Love it. Brilliant.
Okay. And then, I mean, Cary Grant's passed away, so that doesn't make any sense.
No, why
okay.
not?
And, Cary Grant. Hey, for good measure, let's toss in a little nostalgia
Cary Grant, Huey Lewis.
Oh, this would have been true, too. Ryder Strong.
Ryder Strong. And you know Ryder Strong.
Let me take it back. Oh, Kirk Cameron. Sorry, okay, Ryder.
Because
now
got it.
I know Ryder Strong.
Yeah, ILD it's too real. Shit got
and
too
at
real.
At this point, Kirk Cameron hadn't jumped the
this
shark.
Is a great, yeah, yeah. This is great. This is all nostalgic.
Yeah.
The idea that I am friends with someone who lists Cary Grant, Huey Lewis, and Kirk Cameron all in one thing is like brilliant. I'm going to make up some categories because I try to keep it fresh.
Oh, yeah, you do.
And I'm not saying by any stretch of the imagination that you can't be happy being who you are, but this is a game of imaginary.
Oh,
so if
I
you could be three
not.
Other people, like let's just you, who would you want to be?
Rihanna.
Great. If Rihanna and Huey Lewis end up married, our work
oh
is done.
Oh my gosh. That's a good day. Meryl Streep's daughter. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be Mamie Gunner or whatever, Gummer, but just Meryl Streep's daughter.
Great.
And then one more person. I need a big black man to be.
Oh, yeah.
Duh. Jay-Z.
Jay-Z. Love
it. Absolutely Jay-Z.
I couldn't be more excited about this. If you could eat... I've never done... these are really off the top of my head. You're making me think really creatively. It's great. Yes. If you could eat any type... And by the way, also, no gluten for Vanessa and Janet because of the same disease.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you all wonder what that
diseases.
Is.
It's not what you think either. It's not. It's like celiac.
And it's not
nope.
what you think. Okay, so if you could eat mm-hmm. something like all the time without having any physical ramifications whatsoever, it could be because of yours and my mutual allergies, or it could just be like a thing that's fattening, or it could just be a thing that... You know what? You don't even really like, but everyone else seems to. So maybe you should pretend that you like it in the Smash game.
One thing or three things?
Three different things.
Okay. Because I also don't do dairy. So
me neither.
Let's imagine pizza.
Yep.
Haven't had that in a while. I know there's other options, but I don't usually like to eat the fake stuff either. So it's just like,
I don't like, what I do is I don't like soy cheese either. So I do
have
the whole
food
gluten-free pizza.
Daiya?
Oh, no, I haven't.
It's at Whole Foods, and it's made from tapioca root. It's gluten-free, soy-free.
Okay, because sometimes you do the rice cheese, but it's so salty.
It's better than both.
Okay,
foods.
I'll try Daiya. Because I do like getting the Whole Foods gluten-free pizza crust. I just put whatever else I want on it that doesn't involve cheese or tomatoes. Yeah.
From the pizza place?
Yes.
From the...
No, you can get it in the frozen section, or at the Whole Foods in Glendale. Mm-hmm. They have them not frozen, just refrigerated, and so you just like heat them up for like 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's say pizza. Let's also say... Maybe I'm just in a carbon mood. Bagel.
Great. I really haven't had it
right?
in such a long time.
Me either, probably 10 years. Like a bagel with cream cheese.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
And then one more thing.
Maybe I would be a person that likes pistachio flavored things.
Love it.
I've never done that.
I didn't either until I had some pistachio gelato in Paris that was like,
you're
so
one of those people
that
I like pistachios, but like, I always like it when people are like, oh, pistachio ice cream. Delicious.
Yeah, it seems very sophisticated, yeah, doesn't it? Okay. What about like a talent that you would want to have?
Dancing.
Dancer.
Like hip hop dancer.
Great.
Amazing singer.
Great singer. Love it.
And how about being a really talented potter?
Ooh.
I'd really like that.
I love it. Okay. Okay. What's another one? A vehicle that you would get around in. It doesn't even have to be a car.
And I don't have to be... if we can take away my fears from...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Anything.
Oh.
You could be a helicopter pilot. I mean, not as a job, but like if you want to get around with some vehicle.
I like a sparkly sidecar that someone else drives the motorcycle part of.
Sidecar passenger.
I would like to be a passenger also in... some big up high car, some jacked up car.
Jacked up like a big like monster truck.
Yeah, but with some like really feminine rims. Feminine and rims. Then last choice would obviously be speedboat.
Fantastic. It's so obvious I had already written it in. So I don't even have to write it. Speedboat. And then let's do three pets. And that'll be it.
That I want or that...
Any
I
have. A fantasy pet.
Okay. Oh, let's pretend they're nice. Miniature horse. Really wish they were friendlier. Mini horse, super mini pig. They don't exist, but like minier than the little pigs. They're touting this pig as a mini pig, and it weighs 30 pounds.
Like they can fit in the palm of your hand.
Yeah, so I want
palm
that
of your hand pig.
A palm pig. And... Oh, and a great chain.
I just laughed. It sounded like a pig's wheel.
Like a palm pig.
That's not even my normal laugh. I really adapt my laugh to whatever the subject at hand
is.
You're so smart. In fact, let me go back and laugh at Mini Horse.
Oh, good job. Great Dane.
Thank you.
How does that laugh?
It sounded
funny you should
like
mention
Scooby-Doo.
It.
Oh, Great Dane. Okay, one more pause, guys. Oh. Possibly two, depending on what happens with the plumber. But here comes the counting process. Oh, first I have to do this. Tell me when to stop. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Okay, guys, I'll see you in 1 second.
What is going to happen?
Side note, you will not see me. Pausing. All right, guys, this is what happened. I counted it up, and in the meantime, Colin and Vanessa just said they had Deborah Ann Woll, who's on True Blood, on the podcast. I love her, and Vanessa just compared me to her, yes. And now my day is made.
And then we were
nothing
quickly
can get
plotting
me down
about
today.
How to be real friends.
And then we were like, oh my God, we need to be
so
best
friends
with her
that?
Immediately.
How did we do that?
We're going to work on that.
She loves Mystery Science Theater.
I know.
She
we're going to try. I want to
so
have her.
So smart and funny. And,
yeah, I got it.
Gosh, eyes you could swim in.
I'm in, guys. Okay. All right, listen. Sometimes it works out that you live in a shack, and that's okay because hopefully you're happy anyway. You did get the shack.
Oh,
it's hard to get the shack. It was always like the most heartbreaking moment to get the shack in the old days. You live in a shack, but here's the thing.
What?
You're married to Cary Grant.
Ah!
And you must be choosing to live in a shack because if you're married to Cary Grant and you're Meryl Streep's daughter...
Oh, this
you're
is
just
a good
living,
life.
Yeah, you're
we're
just living,
trying to make it romantic.
If you're and if for some reason you're having trouble with the fact that you live in a shack, you can also take a little ride on your speedboat
with Cary at the helm and
with
a captain's
Cary at
outfit.
The helm and a captain's outfit. And then once you get home, you put a nice pizza in the oven and eat as much pizza as you want with no physical ramifications whatsoever. And then you're all energized because you've got all the delicious carbs from the pizza. So you do some hip hop dancing because
which
you're
I'm
master
good
at it. You're the best there is.
Oh my gosh, this is the best
and
life
then
I could have ever.
You cuddle
for.
Up.
Oh no,
with your palm pig. Congratulations!
Oh my gosh,
my heartiest congratulations.
I love the shack. We want to be close to each other.
Exactly. You know it's super cozy.
We're just doing it rustic.
I love it.
We've
it's a
all
rustic
had
check.
That big life.
Listen, my friend Marianne just got back from doing like a USO-y kind of a comedy tour thing in Alaska. And she was telling me about this hipster couple that she met who took her dog sledding. And they live in like a cabin in the middle of the forest with an outhouse, no running water. When they got back from dog sledding, the wife had made
the dogs, like the dog is pulling the sled.
Like, yeah, like they have three, like they have like six mutts who love being dog.
The grammar. I thought you were saying they took her dog sledding.
Oh,
like hey, you cute dog. Let me and the babe take it.
I am going to imagine that from here on out. But she has video of her and these happy dogs are bounding through the snow, and she's on the back of the sled. And then she and the guy got back from sledding, and the adorable, like 25-year-old darling wife had made Swedish pancakes with her own blackberry preserves that she makes in the summer.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, these people are like a Wes Anderson movie, speaking of Wes Anderson. Like everything that was described, she showed me a picture of their cabin. It's amazing. And they live in like this little cabin that's sort of a shack. It's fantastic.
I have a great life. You're going to have a great life. I'm so excited.
This was, again, a sloppy, messy, loud. There were dogs barking. Ugh. There were plumbers coming through, really just the one. Ugh. And it was a complete pleasure. It flew by, even with our multiple breaks. And guys, I hope you followed along well enough. I know it was all over the place, but I couldn't have had more fun.
So I couldn't have either.
You guys got something out of it as well. I know you did.
I had so much fun.
We all know we all did.
I hope everyone.
There's going to be a part two to this for sure.
Oh my gosh. I'm ready. I'm ready.
And I cherish and love you.
I cherish and love you.
Oh, I wasn't talking to you.
Oh, the listeners? Were you really talking to your listeners?
No, I was talking to you.
I was like, oh my gosh, because I love them too.
I was talking to you, but we both love you guys also.
Yeah. Especially Jules out there in New Zealand.
Especially all you people living out in Australia and New Zealand. Jules is never going to, I'm never going to hear Jules. The end of this. Yeah. All right, great guys. So weigh in. Please let us know if there were like 8 stories that we started and never finished. It all went by in a crazy, fantastic blur. And we'll talk to you next time on the podcast. As always, the JV Club theme song is Before We Were Brittle, courtesy of the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.